truth. Where do we find the truth? In the Word of God. That's where we find out what truth is. This is where we find out if our theology lines up with God's truth. So each and every week of a series, as many of you know, we work on the verse that we are learning together. And in this series called Set Apart, the verse is Romans 12:1. And each week during the service, we recite it two times. First time it's on the screen, second time we start removing some of the words and we do the best that we can, reminding all of us of God's grace, that it's in the Bible. If we're ever needing to look for it, it's also in the bulletin as well. But would you take some time and just recite this, starting and ending with the reference, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, Romans 12:1. Okay, and so then now we start taking away words, and so the three are gone. Let's just keep doing the best that we can, okay? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, Romans 12:1. Well done. It's supposed to only there's three blanks, right? So today I just want to start talking about going viral. Have you heard that phrase before? It's kind of the idea of that there is something, you know, and typically these days we use it for things that are going on in the internet or in the social media world, something that people just find so interesting or so silly or so funny or whatever it is. It can be a news piece. It could be something that somebody just made. And for some strange reason, sometimes these go viral. All right, now there are a bunch out there, but I just picked a handful from last year, and just watch them, and you'll see, and you'll be asking yourselves, why in the world did this go viral? Check this out. Come on, there.
Hey, in my car, maybe there's.
All right, we need sound. There. We good back there?
Hey, in my car, maybe there's something dead. Whoa.
Look how so quiet in here.
What is in your mouth?
Oh my God!
As μουσίνε, εχείρε σου επίσαμε και πλασάμε.
Maybe that's why they shouldn't do child baptism in church. I don't know. I don't know for sure. But how in the world do these things go viral? And I have a son, Eli, he's here today, who every once in a while will make a video as well, just because I think he wants to do silly, ridiculous things and see how people respond. And I just want to show you one of his videos. So check this out.
Okay, I'll admit it. I'm thick.
Thick and tired of being underappreciated. I mean, can we just...
Right? And like four of you are laughing and the rest of you are going, what in the world was that and what that was all about? Do you want to know how many hits this thing got? How many watches, views this thing has? If you were to take a guess, how many? Somebody said three. Four after today. Hey, do you have any idea? 223,000 views on that view. So, yeah, good job, Eli. I hope you get monetarily reimbursed for it or something like that. I don't know. But it's just crazy. But this is kind of what viral is sometimes these things happen and you have no idea why. You look at stuff and you say, why in the world is that? Why did that go viral? And a lot of times we just don't know. But viral can also be a bad thing, right? You know, when it ties to something like a virus, which is where the word comes from. Now think back to the 1300s, and so there was this merchant ship that was going to stop in Sicily. Okay, so Sicily is the island in Europe where if you have Italy, it kind of looks like a boot. It's the island that it looks like the boot is kicking. Okay, so the merchant ship stops in Sicily. And when the people go on and the people start coming off, what they begin to find out is there are a lot of sick and dead people on the ship. And so people are coming in contact, they're trying to help them figure all that out. And then the ship ends up moving on after they pull the dead bodies off, ends up moving on elsewhere. And what they didn't know is what they were coming in contact with was so contagious that this virus ended up impacting everybody. And after 5 years, one third the population of Europe died because of this virus. You know what it's called? The Black Plague. Yeah. Some people called it the Black Death. And all it really was this virus that if you came in contact with it, it could affect you. It does affect you. And I think we kind of have a small understanding of this because of COVID that happened a few years back. Where there were some of us that were impacted greatly by it. Others of us, probably not a whole lot at all. Many of us know people that ended up dying because of COVID. And here's the thing that we all began to understand is I may be feeling okay, but I still may have something in me that's going to impact the life of somebody else. We may be a carrier of a virus that really can do some damage to our lives and the lives of the world around us. And friends, we are in this message series, week two, where we're talking about set apart. Last week, we talked about how God is holy, and God is, the word holy means sacred and set apart, and how God is set apart from all of his creation. He is unique and different and worthy of our praise. That's what we talked about last week. And this week, we start talking about, so how does this impact our lives? And we start talking about how we are holy, we are set apart by Christ. All right, the passage of scripture that we're going into is in Romans chapter 6. And Romans, friends, is one of those really tough books where sometimes it gets so meaty that it's hard to understand what's going on. And I'm going to do my best just to help us to think through some of this stuff. But we need to have a little idea of where we're heading in chapter 6. If you start in the first few chapters of Romans, what it's talking about is the fact that we are a people that have condemnation in our lives. Just because we've been born into this world filled with sin. So what is sin? Sin is this idea that God has this standard, this expectation for us to live, and it requires us to be perfect. And of course, we all know that we can't be perfect. And the reason we can't be perfect is because this thing called sin entered into the world. And sin, it simply means God has this, what he wants for us, right? And we don't do it. We live our lives, whether we're trying to be good or trying to not be good. Most of us, if not all of us, we kind of really just live our lives the way that we think is best. What do I want to do? How do I see my future playing out? And in so doing, we miss the mark of what God has for each and every one of our lives. And so the first three chapters or two and a half chapters, it kind of starts talking about the fact that we have this condemnation over our lives, each and every one of us. And then the next few chapters, three through five, it starts talking about the fact, but God does not leave us in a place where we're just stuck in this condemnation, but he offers us the opportunity to be rid of that through Jesus Christ. Christ coming and dying on the cross and raising again, we will talk about that today. But those who are willing to surrender themselves to what God has done, it puts us back in this position where God sees us in light of perfection. How does that work? Well, it's because now, because we've surrendered ourselves to Christ, what God sees is Jesus in us. Okay, so that's kind of what's going on in the first handful of chapters. And so now we get into chapter 6, where what Paul starts talking about is then what does that mean? What does that mean for our lives? What does that mean that God has done this for us? Those of us who give our lives to Christ, it's got to mean something. And so, Lord, as we begin to look at what your word says, God, help us to open our eyes to this idea of what it means to be set apart. Help us to understand that we are called to a different life than the world around us. And even saying that, Lord, sometimes that it's almost like I sense your spirit saying to me, hey, Justin, don't just say it, do it. Consider your life in light of what I have for you. And God, thank you for the reminder. And thank you for the reminder in your word today. And help us to hear by your grace and the power of your spirit, help us hear to be able to grasp and understand what your word is teaching us today, that we are called to be set apart as well. Open our eyes to what that means. God, may the words that I share and the things that we all hear, may it be acceptable and pleasing to you. You are our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Okay, so now Paul is beginning to try and talk about, so what does it mean that Christ has died for us? And how does this play out in our lives? And so starting in verse 5, what it says is, for if we have been united with him in a death like his. So now we're talking about Christ and that he died. And it says, if we've been united with him. So I just want to stop to give us an idea of this, because this word united is going to come up a few times in this passage. And I wanted to help you to try and understand what the Greek idea of the word united was. If you can picture a plant on the ground, right? And the sun up in the sky. And what the idea of united is that you have this plant. It doesn't look like it's connected, but it is absolutely connected to the sun. And if it does not have the power of the sun, what will happen to the plant? It will die. And so the idea that the Greeks were trying to help people to understand is so here we are, right? And here God is. And yet there is now some sort of connection with us. And if we embrace this, we can live. And if we don't embrace this, we will die. And so we are united with God. We may not see him, right? We may not hear his voice, but those of us who surrendered our lives to Christ, we are now united with God, even though it looks like we're here and God's there. We are united in some way. So if we have been united in a way that our lives absolutely depend on our Heavenly Father, right? Then if we've been united with him in the death, and so Christ died on the cross. This is the thing that we talk about almost every week, that Jesus Christ came to save us because of this idea of separation, because of this idea of missing the mark. Jesus came and lived a perfect life and became the sacrifice that if we trust Christ in the death on the cross, we unite with God. And we now get to experience the life that he has called us to. We get to be the people that bring the kingdom of God of earth. And we will find out that we also get to experience eternity with him. This decision isn't solely for eternity. This decision is a point that we make now that impacts everything that as we go forward. And so if we've been united in his death, that we believe that Christ died for us, right? We will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection. And so the death took care of the penalty of sin, right? But now he rose again and he has life once again. And so the idea for us is we have a life once again with Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection. And now we can live in the way that God called us to live. Because prior to the death, burial, and resurrection, we couldn't. We just couldn't do it. And that's why we encourage people to give your lives to Christ. Means believe that he died and rose again. Because that's what helps us to become in this relationship with him. And so Paul goes on just to try and clarify. He says, for we know that our old self, right, the sinful self, the old self, the before Christ, that was crucified with him when Christ died on the cross, right? So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. This is what takes care of the issue of being the people that have missed the mark, which is all of the world. Right? And so Christ's crucifixion took care of that. It is done away with. It is gone. Here's what we need to hear in this. What Paul is saying is this power of this virus in our lives, the sinful part of our lives, it's gone. We give our lives to Christ. It is gone. That's what Paul is trying to help us to understand. Now, if you're like me, you hear something like this and say, okay, but I still seem to struggle with some of this sin stuff in my life. Well, just hold on and let's keep that as a thought as we move forward, because what Paul's trying to do right now is just to help us to understand that old person, the one that was dealing with the virus of sin, it's gone. It has been taken care of. We should no longer be slaves to that sin. So now all of a sudden what it's saying is we have a choice. All right. It does not control us because of Christ, right? It does not control us. And now we are here and we are united with God. And now we have this choice. Are we going to let the sin enslave us once again? Or are we going to trust God to be the source of everything that we need in our lives? Paul says you shouldn't be a slave to sin. You shouldn't continue to be looking back to your old life and the things that make you comfortable and the things that you enjoy. Not that those things can't be bad, but what Paul is saying is no, what we first do is we look to Christ. And God, what do you want me to do in the situation that I'm in? How does my life now play out in the stuff that I do in this world? Well, Paul is saying, so this old life is that we had, this virus that we had, it is gone. We are dead to that. Because anyone who has died, he says, we have been set free from sin. And I think this is one of those things that we just constantly struggle with, is this idea that we have this freedom. This sin is not what's in control of our life anymore. We have something totally different. It would be like the idea of you making the decision, or somebody making the decision, I'm going to write a biography about an older man or woman of Christian faith. And if you start writing that biography of them, what's going to end up in that story, this is what Paul is trying to help us to understand, is there's kind of going to be two key parts to this biography. Part one is I lived this life where sin was in charge of me. That's what I did. But then there's this significant moment in the book where all of a sudden I've made the decision that no, I choose Christ. And then when that happens, now I live my life with Christ in front of me. Not the virus, but Jesus. And so there should be this very, very clear distinction that happens somehow in our lives. And I understand that not everyone seems to have this point, right? Where I don't remember the exact day where I gave my life to Christ, but there should be a distinction in our lives to be the people who once just allowed the virus to be a part of our lives and it was no big deal and we just do what we want and the world does what we want and the virus that we have impacts the people around us, their virus impacts us. To this point where Christ has now my Lord, my Savior and my Lord, I choose to live for him. And now our life should be different, where that sin no longer is in charge of me. We have been set free from the grip of sin. And so our lives are to be different. Dare I say, set apart. Because that's what we are called to. And so Paul continues on and he says, so now if we have died with Christ, right? We believe that we will also live with him. And so now we begin to see that the death isn't the only thing that matters to us. The death, burial, and resurrection aren't the only things that matter to us. But now it's this idea of living with him. It's this idea that this united thing, that we are making the choice to continue to be united with him. It's not like the separation can ever take place, but we're choosing to be here now. We will also live with him. It's this idea, you know, and I think Jesus said it in John chapter 11. And when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he says, the one who believes in me will live. Even though you die, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He says, do you believe this? And so what Jesus is saying is this part of trusting in me is going to create this life that God has absolutely wanted, and we will have the experience of being with him and him being with us now throughout all of eternity. Every portion of it now, Christ is with us. Christ is with me because I've given my life to him. And even if you die, that's not the end. Jesus is saying there is more to life than that. But I also think of Peter in 1 Peter when he was writing to the Christians. He says, and let's hear this. He says, as obedient children, he says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you didn't know and you were just kind of living on your own, you know, because you got to decide what was important. He said, actually, that's a virus. It's something evil inside of us. And now he says, as obedient children. And so there's this expectation that the followers of Christ obey. It says in verse 15, it says, just as he called you is holy, you are to be holy as well. So be holy in all that you do. The word holy means that we choose to be a people that are set apart and sacred for God. And so this idea of what does it mean to live with him? It means that from the point where I've given my life to Christ, eternity is now in the picture. But as an obedient person, I begin to live the way that God is calling me to live. I choose to stay in the light. That's how I grow. He says, Paul goes on to say, he says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. He now has power over death. Not even death can stop him. He says, death no longer has mastery over him. And this is the idea of a servant and a master. And again, in the virus, in the sin, that's what has mastery over us. But now he says that no longer has mastery over him, just like it does with us. He said the death he died to sin once and for all. His death took care of the virus of sin in this world. And he invites us to be in a relationship with him so we can also be free of the virus of sin in the world. But then he also says, but the life he lives to God. And that's why I keep saying, it's not just this decision. That is truly what saves us. But we're called to this life, this set apart life after it, where we now live for God. So he says, just as Christ did, he said, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God, dead to the virus, and living in unity with the Son, alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so as I was thinking of this, I just started to think that there seems to be kind of three things that are going on here, where this idea of being saved, it happens, right? But then it kind of happens again, and it continues to happen. And so what I started to think is there's this idea of this past in our lives. And if we were to think about it, there's some point, those of us who have given our lives to Christ, we might be able to point back to a time or a specific date where we surrendered our lives to Christ. Sometimes as children, you ask Jesus into your heart or whatever it is, but there's this time where you have been, right, have been saved. What does that mean? The virus of sin no longer is in charge of our lives. The whole idea is that we were not right with God, and we needed to be made right with God. The fancy church term for that is called justification, right? Or justified, mostly because it's a little shorter to write, right? Justification or justified. What it means is that God did the thing. God, the ruler, judged that a life with the virus is not what's for us. And people who have the virus in their lives, they end up living this life however they want, right? They end up dying and they spend eternity in hell separated from God. That's not what God wants for our lives. And so he came up with the plan, which he knew all along, that his son would be the sacrifice so that it can be just as if I'd never sinned. That this virus of sin doesn't have control over our lives. But the idea, especially if you look into John chapter 5, verse 24, one of the things that Jesus says, he says, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me. So if you believe in what Jesus is saying and God who sent him, you have eternal life. And so there's this idea where this have been saved somehow seems to impact everything that goes on in our life now as it moves forward. It is not a one-moment decision and then we continue on doing our lives. This saving thing just continues on. But we will not be judged because we have crossed from death to life because of what God has done through Jesus. All right, but then we start to realize that there's stuff that is going on today as well. In this present, where this salvation seems to have been impacted here. And so the idea of us having been saved now continues with this idea that we are now also being saved. So this saving that took place then, now we are called to live this life for God. And this is the idea of us continuing to be saved. Does that mean that Christ didn't die for us if we have a hard time living for Jesus? Absolutely not. This is just the invitation that God now has for us to live the best life that he has for us. Philippians, Paul says, being confident in this, that he who began this good work in you will carry it out to completion. That there is this continuation of this being saved. Again, the fancy church word for this is called sanctification, right? Or sanctified. And you want to know what sanctified means? You know, as Paul was saying, who began this good work in you is going to carry it out to completion. Sanctified means we just become more like Jesus. That's what God is calling us to do in our lives. That's what's going to make us set apart from the virus of sin in the world, is that we are the people that understand that we are dead to that. Are we going to struggle and stumble with it? Yeah, we will. But we are dead to that because we've chosen to live under the Son and unite with him. And then God continues this good work in us. But we've also heard in all of this that there is this future as well, right? That you have this idea of eternal life, which means that at some point in our lives, we will be saved. Now, we are saved because this has happened. We live our life for Christ because he wants us to become more like him. But there's going to be this point in our lives where we will be saved from the virus of sin in this world, where we get to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. Eternity with God. I don't know what that's going to be like, but I trust it's going to be better than this, right? And I love my life. I do. But I trust God that this is going to be super worthwhile. Again, the fancy term for this is glorification, where God glorifies us and our bodies, our soul, our spirit, right? It becomes absolutely perfect in the eyes of God. And at some point, our bodies become perfect in the eyes of God. And we get into all this stuff that's really confusing and doesn't make a ton of sense. But just know that this is what Paul is trying to help us to understand, is this gets rid of the virus of sin. But then we are called to the set-apart life where we allow ourselves to be saved from sin again and again as we live in the presence of the Son. You get it? Kind of get it? Paul's hard to understand sometimes. Paul goes on to say, therefore, because of this, he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let the virus be the thing that's in charge. You find out that you're struggling with something in regards to the virus, Paul says, deal with it. Don't let that be the thing that controls your life. Let that be the Son of God. It's the one that controls your life. So don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Don't just continue doing what the world is doing. Continue doing what you were doing before. Not that those things are bad things, but now I choose to do them in light of what the Heavenly Father wants for me. And he goes on to say, don't offer any part of yourself to this sin. Don't offer any part of yourself to this virus as an instrument of wickedness. We say, wicked, I'm not wicked. No, but wicked is not doing what God wants you to do. That's terribly wicked. This idea of how he wants us to live and then we just do what we want. Paul says that's not the set apart people. He says, don't offer any part of your sin an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. What does it look like to offer ourselves to God? He says, as those who have been brought from death to life, offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, that we would be the people that are going to live and do what is right. So what does it look like to offer yourselves to God? I'm convinced there are many, many different ways that we can do this, but I just want to let you know what I do. Each and every morning, I wake up and I have this prayer in my head that I've been saying for a while. And I'm not saying the prayer is magical, but it reminds me to offer myself to God. And if you were here on Easter Sunday, you actually got to hear a part of it, because some of it comes from Ephesians 5:14. And I told you that I would start by saying, wake up sleepers, rise from the dead. And then the people who are here, do you remember what we would say? Yes, four of you remember. That is awesome. Yeah, wake up sleepers, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And then in my prayer, I go on to say, Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. And then I shift on to the reminder about my family and my church people. And I change it from not just me, God, but Jesus, we belong to you. And I end that prayer by praying in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, each and every morning, that's how I start my day. Almost 100% of the time, I'm still in bed when it happens. Jesus, I belong to you. And then I move into this time of devotion. Why? Because I want to surrender myself to Christ. I want to, as it says, I want to offer myself to God as every part of me to be an instrument of his righteousness. So wake up, sleepers, rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. And Jesus, you know the prayer, Lord. And so what Paul was saying then is so now in this, sin's no longer going to be your master. Sin is not the thing that's in charge, because you're not under the law. You're not under the fact that there is a penalty for this sin, and the penalty for that sin is death, because we've embraced the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus. You're not under law. You are now under grace. And because of that, we are set free in life to being saved, becoming more and more like Christ as we move towards the time where we get to see him face to face. In Christ, we are set apart to live in righteousness, that we live in this life of doing what God is calling us to do. There was a pastor who was on a bus with some college students, and the bus was going on this very, very bumpy road. And so the pastor is just kind of reading his Bible, and he sees a young man, a college student that he knew, was sitting near him. And so he just starts asking him a question. He said, do you think you're ready? I mean, here's a great opener question. Try this on an airplane. Do you think you're ready for the temptations of college? Ooh, what a great way to start a conversation, right? But that's what the pastor asked him. Do you think you're ready for the temptations of college? And the young man responded. He said, I am absolutely ready because I have a very strong will. I will not be tempted in college. So as they're bouncing down the road, the pastor thinks for a second, and he pulls out a pencil. And he closes his Bible, and he places the pencil on the Bible. And he said, do you think that I can get this pencil to stand straight up on end on this Bible? You think I could do that? And the young man said, no, there's no way you could do that. Absolutely not. That is not possible. And the pastor said, but look, it's happening right now. As he was holding the pencil on the Bible. And he said, well, of course, you didn't tell me that you were going to hold it. I mean, if you're going to hold it, then yeah, you can have it stand straight up on the Bible. And the pastor said, well, of course I didn't tell you that, because we all already know that. We already know that a pencil is not going to stand up on the Bible unless somebody's holding it. What's the point here, friends? Point, pencil, I didn't even mean that. What's the point? The point is that if we want to be the people who are living on God's word, we can't do it alone. But we are called to live that life, a set-apart life, where we are trusting God to hold us up, because that's what his word tells us. And God can do that. And may we be the people that embrace the Son and grow and flourish in the way that he is calling us to, which will look different from the world, because we, friends, are the sacred and set apart ones. Jesus, I belong to you. As I say this prayer, may you be saying it in your hearts as well. I lift up my heart to you. I fix my mind on you. Set my eyes on you. Jesus, I offer my body to you as a holy, set apart, and living sacrifice. And Jesus, we belong to you. Some of us understand this. Some of us, we just don't fully understand and we don't get it. What does it mean that I belong to Jesus? God, may you open our eyes to what it means to surrender our life to you, that we would be the people that belong to you. Open our eyes to what Christ has done on the cross. And may we be the people that say, Jesus, I need you. I don't want to be somebody who just lives this virus sin life. I want my life to have meaning. So Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose again to take care of the virus, sin. And I give myself to you. I hope we all said something like that to God right now and gave our lives to him. Because Jesus, we are yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi, this is Justin. I'm the pastor here at the Benton Church. Hope you enjoyed this message. Please know that our message series are available here on your podcast app, audio feed of choice, as well as on YouTube. And you can also join us on site or online Sunday mornings at 10:30. Thanks and have a great day.